This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, episode 47 for Thursday, December 5th, 2019. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. I'm Brian Fitzgerald.
And I'm Jason Keyes. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make LPS the wonderful place it is. Today, we'll listen to the latest episode of Superintendent Spotlight with Steve Joel, with host Mindy Burback, recorded on November 26th. But first, let's take a look at the headlines on lps.org. Make sure you check out the video put together by communication specialist Brianna Campbell, who visited a first grade classroom at Couser Elementary to learn more about a new method we're using at LPS to teach reading to kindergartners and first graders, and the impact it's already having. Another story on our website, LPS music students, as usual, fared very well in state music competitions. We had more than 100 high school and elementary students who were honored. And finally, some news that was just released today on Thursday as we record this. LPS was one of only 250 school districts in the U.S. and Canada chosen to be on the College Board's AP District Honor Roll, which recognizes school districts who not only have made great progress with student scores on advanced placement exams, but also with increasing access to AP classes and exams to a wider range of their student population.
Excellent. Quite a few things on the calendar. In fact, so many things on the calendar. I'm going to ask you to go check it online. We'll get to that in a second. Thursday and Friday, Southeast has their fall art show, and that's going on in their art studios. Lincoln High also has an art show going on, and that is in the library at Lincoln High. High school plays going on. We have Second Samuel going on at Lincoln High, The Last Illusion at North Star, and A Christmas Story at Southwest. Those are all going on for a couple days, and those are each at their respective schools. Monday evening, East, Southeast, and Southwest all have winter band concerts. Tuesday evening, East has a choral concert. Wednesday evening, Southwest is doing jazz. And remember, next Tuesday, the 10th, is the Lincoln Board of Education board meeting, and they're voting to approve the purchase of new high school sites that were discussed at the last board meeting. If you haven't seen where the new high school sites are proposed to be, you can find that information up on lps.org. Athletics coming up. We have wrestling, boys and girls basketball, and next Monday afternoon, Unified Bowling State Tournament is going on at Sun Valley Lanes. You can check the websites for schools and for the Heartland Athletic Conference at heartlandathleticconference.org for those activities. Also, don't forget to check the front page of lps.org or our arts calendar.
On the latest episode of LPS Live Superintendent Spotlight, Steve Joel talks about preparing students to be career, college, and civic ready, the jobs of tomorrow, and how the school district supports STEM education. And the student question is from Ali, an eighth grader at Dawes Middle School, who wants to know, how do you think technology will give students more flexibility in the classroom? Let's take a listen.
Hello, I'm Mindy Burback, Director of Communications for Lincoln Public Schools. Welcome to Superintendent Spotlight, an opportunity where we get to sit down with Dr. Joel two times a month to hear what's going on in the district. Welcome, Dr. Joel.
Thank you, Mindy.
So we've been working to update the 10-year facility and infrastructure plan. There's been a lot of work going into it. We gathered a lot of input starting 2 years ago with the high school task force. We had the Superintendent's Facility Advisory Committee. We've listened to everybody. Our staff and our board have gotten to work. And now tonight, we're going to hear at the board meeting, we're going to hear a bond resolution and the update to the 10-year facility plan. You guys have been going around the country to look at these schools, you and the board and the staff, to see what's the latest, what's the best thing for best practices for education. What have you guys seen as you've been traveling around the country?
Well, you know, everything is centering right now on STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And then you put an E in there, make it STEAM, and that course is the arts. So I think really, school districts around the country are focusing on delivering curriculum that's preparing students for this future that is somewhat uncertain. But those are the skills that, quite frankly, are going to be required in 90% of the jobs in the next couple of decades. And so, as traditional as we typically are in schools, because it's very, very difficult to change, I think in LPS we've really begun to focus more on STEM. And of course, STEAM. We're very strong in the fine arts as well. And so I anticipate that we're going to look at these two new high schools, if we gain voter support, that will have some career tech ed pathways that'll be STEM focused. I do believe that we're going to see some additional STEM opportunities in partnership with community groups and community organizations and businesses that have a real interest in that as well, too. And so I'm really excited for the future. You know, I was listening to Jamie Kassab, I think, who's the director of education for all of Google. And he actually was in Lincoln. He spoke at a conference, not in Lincoln, but he was in Lincoln a year ago. He spoke at a conference in California, and he just literally lit us all up with by saying that students need to take AP computer science today every bit as much as they take AP English, AP history. Those are the skills of the future. Whether you're going into an entry-level position in banking, or you're going to go to work for a major manufacturer, or you're going to work for a technology startup company, the reality of it is you have to have those skills. And so there's going to be great pressure, I think, on education and educators going forward in the future to make sure that we are giving kids those opportunities. So it's about learning how to collaborate, how to be constructive, how to be critical thinkers, you know, how to reflect, how to problem solve. And, you know, I'll close by saying I think in the future we're going to see an awful lot of things happening at the high school, middle, and elementary school that are going to be centered on that problem-based.
And so how do we prepare those students to be career, college, and civic ready where we don't even know what those careers are going to be in the future? How do we prepare students for that?
We have to make sure that the experiences that they have in a classroom are centered on those skills that I just mentioned. So they know how to work together to solve problems, how they can be self-directed learners, how they can use technology to research and actually solve problems, and be communicative. They have to know how to communicate. You know, programming, coding and basic programming is going to be a required course at some point in the future. And we've really been, you know, tiptoeing around that, but that's what students need to know. So I'm really happy and pleased because of the work of our folks that work in technology. Everybody's learning how to code, right? I actually took that little code course a while back, and as much as I didn't want to, I thought, okay, this is it. I mean, these are the skills we're going to have as we begin to learn how to become programmers. One of the examples that was used in this conference was a question: how many of you think there are more bank tellers today than there were? And no hands went up. And he said, what if I told you there were? And there were, but they're doing different things. And they're in, because now so much of what they're doing is STEM oriented. So I think that we're going to, you know, that's going to be said about the transportation industry and autonomous vehicles, right? I mean, if you believe that we're not going to need drivers in trucks and in Ubers, what's going to happen to all those people that are gainfully employed there? They're going to be doing different things, maybe in the transportation industry, but it's going to be much more STEM centered.
And so how can we support those here? How can the link in the community support those STEM education opportunities?
Well, this spring, if plans go according to what we've been working on, you mentioned we've been visiting schools, we've been talking with community partners, we've seen the success at the Career Academy that's got close to 700 students right now. I think we're going to announce some additional partnerships. I do believe that we're going to be focusing more on apprenticeships and internships. I think we're going to be focusing more on some STEM pathways. We're also going to help the community solve some critical needs in medical science and medical pathways and pathway support. So I'm pretty excited about that, you know, but we can't forget the fact that a basic general education is a requirement, right? Students have to be able to have basic skills, they have to be successful, but they have to be ready to transition to this world of work and world of careers. And so I think the future is exciting. You know, everybody says to me, oh, this generation, you know, we're just going the wrong way. I think we're going the right way. And I think that we just have to evolve with it. You know, I think about technology, for example, and how rapidly it's changing. And I always ask this question of myself: what more technology do I need to be able to live a comfortable life? The answer is zero, right? Because everything that I have is already over my head. And then you hear about things like these scanners that grocery stores are using right now. That's outdated technology. Mm-hmm. You know, in a couple of years, that won't exist anymore. It's going to be replaced by a chip on a card that you walk in, and your bank is automatically going to be wired in, and so everything that you put into your cart, you're already going to pay for. It's just like amazing to me where we're at, and we have to prepare our kids for that world, or they'll get left behind.
Right. So now it's my favorite part of the show. It's when we have a student question, and this one comes from a Dawes Middle School student. They just won they're in a competition for a technology grant.
Yeah.
So eighth grader Ollie asks, how do you think technology will give students more flexibility in the classroom?
Well, I think, first of all, if you think about the old way of doing education, right, it's the teacher in front of the class, prepares the lesson, delivers the lesson. Students kind of work on their own. Sometimes we group them. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure the students master the lesson. I think with technology, we can individualize it. We can customize it. And not only in the classroom, where students can work at different paces and different levels, but also outside the classroom, where they can actually download lessons and work on those at home. And I think we're seeing an awful lot of that happening right now because, you know, we've granted access to Chromebooks for a third grade through 12th grade to be able to take those home. So I think, you know, from a superintendent perspective, hopefully more learning is taking place outside the classroom in more of a flexible manner than, you know, what we were able to do in a 50-minute block of time. So I want to repeat, Mindy, because it's really important. We never entered into this tech world thinking that technology was going to place instruction. And, you know, we need great teachers in our classrooms. We have them, fortunately. And we need to be able to augment technology to just reinforce the opportunity for kids to be more individualized and be responsible for their learning.
Great. And we have a little bit more time left, so I'm going to ask you, what are your plans for Thanksgiving? What are you doing?
Well, first of all, I'm dieting as of yesterday, right up until Thursday. We're going up to our daughters. There's going to be a big feast, as there always is. Lots more grandkids now and relatives that are going to be there. So it's all about fun. My wife loves this time of year because she loves to cook and, you know, get to be creative. So it's fun. It's just a chance to be with family and really be thankful for those things we have in our life that are very, very positive. And I've been very, very fortunate and blessed that, you know, we have wonderful kids and wonderful grandkids and everybody's doing well. And I'll wrestle with the grandkids, make a couple of them, you know, go tell their mom on me, but it wouldn't be Thanksgiving if that didn't happen.
Fabulous. Well, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Some great insights there from Dr. Joel about the future of education and what that might look like at Lincoln Public Schools. Make sure you catch the next episode of Superintendent Spotlight on December 12th. And of course, you'll be able to find that at lps.org.
And I've seen him around this week, so he must not have got hurt wrestling the kids over Thanksgiving. If there's anything you've heard today you'd like to learn more about, there's links to everything with links to our full calendars at lps.org/podcast. If you want to subscribe and get notified whenever we push up a new episode, you can also find that at lps.org/podcast. We're on all the big subscription services, so you can find us there. And that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you for joining us here on Stories from Lincoln Public Schools.